Cassette number 14. Side 1. A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Continuing Section 2, Division D, Thought and Fire and Elementals, on page 589. The ray of ceremonial order has special significance at this time. It controls life in the mineral world, and in the final stages of involutionary life at the point where the upward turn of evolution is made. Through ceremonial order comes the control of the lesser builders, the elemental forces, the point of synthesis in the lowest plane of all, the period of transition. In all such periods, the seventh ray comes in, as now, the ray of law and order, of accurate arrangement and formation. It is the reflection on the physical plane of the power and activity aspects working in synthesis. Rays 1, 3, 7 have an interplay, as we know. Ray 7 is the appearance in combination of the forces of evolution. It is the manifestation of power and activity on the lowest plane of all. It is allied to the laws of the third and seventh planes, disintegration and death. For all periods of transition are periods of the destruction and building of forms and the shattering of the old in order that newer and better chalices of life may be constructed. The ray of devotion has a definite, though little known, connection with the vegetable kingdom. We must remember that it is linked to a subsidiary law of the cosmic law of attraction. It is in the vegetable kingdom that we find one of the first and temporary approximations between the evolving human monad and the evolving deva monad. The two parallel evolutions touch in that kingdom, and then again follow their own paths, finding their next point of contact on the fourth or Buddhic level and a final merging on the second. The concrete rays have an especial effect on the negative evolution of the devas who form the feminine aspect of the divine hermaphroditic man, working along the lines of more positive development. Page 590. The abstract rays do a similar work on the positive human hierarchy, tending towards a more receptive attitude. This hierarchy forms the masculine aspect of the divine hermaphrodite. But at three points on the path of evolution, the monads of love, working on the abstract qualities, touch the devas of activity, working on concrete faculty. The perfection of the two evolutions marks the point of attainment of the divine heavenly man. It is the perfecting of the two major centers, creative activity and love, of the logos. In their lower aspect, these centers are known as the centers of generation and the solar plexus, but are transmuted as evolution proceeds into the throat and heart centers. Then, in a dual synthesis, they will pass on into the third system, that in which the power aspect is developed and the head centers will be complete. This achieved, our logos has triumphed and measured up to the sixth cosmic initiation, just as he should measure up in this system to the fourth. The ray of concrete science has a peculiar relationship to the animal kingdom in that it is the ray that governs the merging of that kingdom into the human. The planet Venus in her fifth round gave the impetus which produced the spark of mind in animal man, a fact well known. It is also the fifth ray and has an interesting connection with the fifth law of fixation. We might study, too, with profit, the analogy that can be seen between these factors and the fifth root race, the race of peculiarly strong development of the concrete mind. The law of analogy always holds good. With this as a basis, the three laws of the personality become replete with life and can be summed up in the well-known term, the law of rebirth and death in the three worlds. The fifth law governs a fixed point in the personality, that of the fifth principle. Page 591. The law of love in the astral body also has its points for consideration. There is a direct link between the astral body, love in the personality, the Buddhic vehicle, love in the triad, and the monads of love. Later on, this will be understood more fully, but it is the main channel for the basic law of the system, love. These three points mark periods of completion, and likewise starting points for fresh endeavor in the life of the evolving monad, from the personality to the triad, from the triad to the monad, from the monad back again to its source. 5. The law of fixation. This is the governing law of the mental plane, finding its greater correspondence in the law of karma on cosmic mental levels. As a man thinks, so is he. According to his thoughts are his desires and acts, and so results the future. He fixes for himself the resultant karma. The word fixation is chosen for two purposes. First, because the word implies the capacity of the thinker to shape his own destiny, and secondly, because the word implies a stabilizing idea, for, as evolution progresses, the ego evolves the faculty of forming definite concrete thought forms, and, through these stable products, of subduing the fluctuations of the astral body. This law of the fifth, or mental plane, is one of the most important laws with which we have to do at any time, and it will find its most complete demonstration in the next, or fifth, round. In relation to this fourth round, the following facts may be gathered about its working. It is the law under which the evolving personality builds up, during the course of many lives, the causal body. It fixes the matter inhering in that body, placed there by the man as the ages slip by, and crystallizes it. Before the fourth initiation, the crystallization is complete, and the inevitable shattering that is the result of crystallization in all forms takes place, setting the indwelling life free for further progress. Page 592. All forms are but hindrances and limitations, and ultimately must go, but they have their needed place in the development of the race. Eventually, the causal body of the entire race itself disintegrates. This law governs the crystallization of all forms prior to their shattering in the process of evolution. It governs the time of rebirth, being one of the subsidiary branches of the law of karma. Each of the seven subsidiary laws is linked to one of the cosmic laws, or with the Syrian law of karma. We need always to remember that the consciousness of the cosmic mental plane is the logoic goal of attainment, and that the Syrian logos is to our solar logos what the human ego is to the personality. The law of karma, or cosmic fixation, is the law of the cosmic mental plane and controls the corresponding law in our system. In the fifth round, this law will act as the divider, temporarily crystallizing and fixing into two great classes, the human monads, as they evolve. One group, then, containing those who will reach the goal, will pass gradually out from under the domination of this law and will come under the law of magnetic control. The other will remain under the law in a static condition until, in a later period, a fresh opportunity will come. Old forms will break, and in another Mahamandantara, and in its fifth period, will come the chance for which they will have waited, when they can again swing into the current of evolution and the imprisoned spirits may mount again towards their source. In an occult sense, this law is for us the one with which we are the most intimately concerned. It plays an important part in the hands of the Lords of Flame, and is one of their main factors in controlling the three worlds. Note here an interesting fact, that Venus is the sixth planet, esoterically the second, and is in her fifth round, and hence is ahead of us along every line. Page 593. This law demonstrates the static quality of love, static temporarily, but necessarily so when viewed from the standpoint of time, the great deluder. On the path of involution, this law again works with the permanent atoms in the three worlds, with the building in of material around those atoms in connection with the building devas and the reincarnating egos. The devas are the mother aspect, the builders of the body, and the reincarnating jivas are the sun aspect. Yet the two are but one, and the result is the divine hermaphroditic man. 6. The law of love. It is not easy in this brief digest to approach the tremendous problem of the place love plays in the evolving scheme of things as understood by three-dimensional man. A treatise could be written on the subject and yet leave it unexhausted. Much light comes if we can ponder deeply on the three expressions of love, love in the personality, love in the ego, and love in the monad. Love in the personality gradually develops through the stages of love of self, pure and simple, and entirely selfish, to love of family and friends, to love of men and women, until it arrives at the stage of love of humanity or group love consciousness, which is the predominant characteristic of the ego. A master of compassion loves, suffers with, and remains with his kind and with his kin. Love in the ego gradually develops from love of humanity into love universal, a love that expresses not only love of humanity, but also love of the Deva evolutions in their totality, and of all forms of divine manifestation. Love in the personality is love in the three worlds. Love in the ego is love in the solar system, and all that it contains, whilst love in the monad demonstrates a measure of cosmic love, and embraces much that is outside the solar system altogether. Page 594. This term, the law of love, is, after all, too generic a term to apply to one law governing one plane, but will have to suffice for the present, as it conveys the type of idea that is needed to our minds. The law of love is, in reality, but the law of the system in demonstration on all the planes. Love was the impelling motive for manifestation, and love it is that keeps all in ordered sequence. Love bears all on the path of return to the Father's bosom, and love eventually perfects all that is. It is love that builds the forms that cradle temporarily the inner hidden life, and love is the cause of the disruption of those forms and their utter shattering, so that the life may further progress. Love manifests on each plane as the urge that drives the evolving monad onwards to its goal, and love is the key to the Deva kingdom and the reason of the blending of the two kingdoms eventually into the divine hermaphrodite. Love works through the concrete rays in the building of the system and in the rearing of the structure that shelters the spirit, and love works through the abstract rays for the full and potent development of that inherent divinity. Love demonstrates, through the concrete rays, the aspects of divinity forming their persona that hides the one self. Love demonstrates through the abstract rays in developing attributes of divinity, in evolving to fullest measure the kingdom of God within. Love in the concrete rays leads to the path of occultism. Love in the abstract rays leads to that of the mystic. Love forms the sheath and inspires the life. Love causes the logoic vibration to surge forward, carrying all on its way and bringing all to perfected manifestation. In System 1, activity, desire for expression, and the impulse to move was the basic note. That activity produced certain results, certain permanent effects, and thus formed the nucleus for the present system. Ordered activity is the foundation of this system of ordered love, and leads to System 3, wherein ordered activity, with ordered love for its impulse, results in ordered loving power. Page 595. The sixth ray of devotion and the sixth law of love have a close alliance, and on the sixth plane comes the powerful working out in the lower triad, the personality, of the law of love. On the astral plane, the home of the desires, originate those feelings which we call personal love. In the lowest type of human being, this shows itself as animal passion. As evolution proceeds, it shows itself as a gradual expansion of the love faculty, passing through the stages of love of mate, love of family, love of surrounding associates, to love of one's entire environment. Patriotism gives place later to love of humanity, often humanity as exemplified in one of the great ones. The astral plane is, at the present time, the most important for us, for in desire, not corrected or transmuted, lies the difference between the personal consciousness and that of the ego. Footnote. Why do we consider this matter of the devas of the middle system, as we might call those connected with this system and with buddhi and kama manas, in our consideration of thought forms? For two reasons. One is that all that is in the solar system is but substance energized from the cosmic mental and astral planes, and built into form through the power of electrical law. All that can be known is but forms ensouled by ideas. Secondly, that in the knowledge of the creative processes of the system, man learns for himself how in time to become a creator. We might illustrate this by remarking that one of the main functions of the theosophical movement in all its many branches is to build a form which can be ensouled in due time by the idea of brotherhood. Return to text. In the sixth scheme, that of Venus, this can be seen clearly. It is the scheme of love. Viewed from one angle, the Venusian scheme is the second, and from another, it is the sixth. It depends upon whether we reason from the circumference to the center or the reverse. It is the home of the planetary logos of the sixth ray. This may sound like a contradiction, but it is not so, really. We must remember the interlocking, the gradual shifting and changing that takes place in time on all the rays. Page 596. In the same way, the Earth chain is the third if viewed from one aspect, and the fifth viewed from another. In the sixth chain of each scheme, this sixth law and the sixth ray have a very important significance, whilst the seventh chain of each scheme is always synthetic, love and activity in a perfect balance. The same effect can be demonstrated in the sixth round. In the sixth round of the present chain of the Earth scheme, the sixth law will demonstrate with great clarity and force, as love shown in brotherhood, love translated or transmuted from the astral to the buddhic. So, in the sixth root race and the sixth sub-race, a similar analogy will be seen. Out of the shattered form of the fifth sub-race of the fifth root race, built up under the fifth ray of concrete knowledge, with the aid of the fifth law of fixation, will emerge the sixth sub-race of brotherly love, love shown in the realization of the one life latent in each son of God. 7. The law of sacrifice and death. This law links itself to the third law, that of disintegration following the connection that always exists between the atomic and the physical plane. The law of disintegration controls the fivefold destruction of forms in the five lower worlds, and the law of death controls similarly in the three worlds. It is subsidiary to the third law. The law of sacrifice is the law of death in the subtle bodies, whilst what we call death is the analogous thing in the physical body. This law governs the gradual disintegration of concrete forms and their sacrifice to the evolving life, and is closely linked in its manifestation with the seventh ray. This ray is the one that largely controls, that manipulates, that geometrizes, and that holds sway over the form side, governing the elemental forces of nature. The physical plane is the most concrete exemplification of the form side. It holds the divine life imprisoned or enmeshed at its densest point, and it works at this time in line with the seventh law. Page 597. In a mysterious way, this law is the reverse side of the first, or the law of vibration. It is Vulcan and Neptune in opposition, which is as yet an almost incomprehensible thing for us. The densest form of expression on the physical plane is, after all, but a form of synthesis, just as the rarest form of expression on the highest plane is but unity or synthesis of a finer kind. One is the synthesis of matter, and the other the synthesis of life. This law governs the seventh chain in each scheme. Each chain, having achieved the fullest expression possible in the scheme, comes under the law of death, and obscuration and disintegration supervenes. In a cosmic sense and analogy, it is the law that governs the coming in of pralaya at the end of a system. It is the law that shatters the cross of the cosmic Christ and places the form of the Christ within the tomb for a period of time. The principle of mutation. In concluding the above information about the laws, it is needful that we all recognize the extreme danger of dogmatizing about these matters and the risk of laying down hard and fast rules. Much must remain unexplained and untouched, and much also will serve to raise only questions in our minds. Comprehension is as yet impossible. Until fourth-dimensional sight is ours, it will scarcely be possible for us to do more than hint at and get a passing vision of the complexity and the interweaving in the system. It is not easy for us to do more than grip, as a mental concept, the fact that the rays, schemes, planets, chains, rounds, races, and laws form a unit. Seen from the angle of human vision, the confusion seems unimaginable, and the key of its solution to be so hidden as to be useless. Yet, seen from the angle of logoic sight, the whole moves in unison and is geometrically accurate. Page 598. In order to give some idea of the complexity of the arrangement, I would like here to point out that the rays themselves circulate, the law of karma controlling the interweaving. For instance, ray 1 may pass around a scheme, if it is the paramount ray of the scheme, with its first sub-ray manifesting in a chain, its second in a round, its third in a world period, its fourth in a root race, its fifth in a sub-race, and its sixth in a branch race. I give this in illustration and not as the statement of a fact in present manifestation. This gives us some idea of the vastness of the process and of its wonderful beauty. It is impossible for us, sweeping through on some one ray, to visualize or in any way to apprehend this beauty, yet to those on higher levels and with a wider range of vision, the gorgeousness of the design is apparent. This complexity is for us very much increased because we do not yet understand the principle governing this mutation. Nor is it possible for even the highest human mind in the three worlds to do more than sense and approximate that principle. By mutation, I mean the fact that there is a constant changing and shifting, an endless interweaving and interlocking, and a ceaseless ebb and flow in the dramatic interplay of the forces that stand for the dual synthesis of spirit and matter. There is constant rotation in the rays and planes, in their relative importance from the standpoint of time, which is the standpoint most closely associated with us. But we can rest assured that there is some fundamental principle directing all the activities of the Logos in his system, and by wrestling to discover the basic principle on which our microcosmic lives rest, we may discover aspects of this inherent Logoic principle. This opens to our consideration a wide range of vision, and though it emphasizes the complexity of the subject, it also demonstrates the divine magnitude of the scheme, with its magnificent intricacies. Page 599. The reason the fourth is a major round is because in this round two things happened. The spark of mind was implanted, and the door was opened from the animal kingdom into the human, and later another door opened, onto the path leading from the human kingdom into the spiritual, again a dual reason. The fifth round is a major round because it marks a point in evolution where those who will achieve the goal and those who will not are sharply differentiated into two groups. The seventh is a major round because it will mark the merging of the two evolutions, the human and the deva. The major root races are chosen under the law of correspondence. In the third root race came the third outpouring, the merging and the point of contact between the spiritual triad and the lower quaternary. The fifth root race marks a point where higher and lower manas approximate, and where the concrete mind, meeting its highest development of this round, gives place to the intuition from above. Here again we have a twofold reason. The seventh root race again demonstrates dual attainment, love in activity, the basis of the third system of will or power. The three major rays, being dual, are their own sufficient explanation. They are at present the mode of expression of the three aspects, and demonstrate under their appropriate logoi, who manipulate world affairs through the three departments, of which the rulers on our planet are the Lord Maitreya, the Manu, and the Mahachohan. The three major planes demonstrate easily their unique position. On plane 2 we have the home of the monads of love. On plane 5 we find the habitat of their reflections, the reincarnating egos, and on the physical plane we find the working out at its densest point of the Life of the Spirit, page 600. This principle of mutation governs every department in the law of correspondences, and certain things can be stated as regards the system and its component parts, which will be found illuminating if we remember that they are facts for the present. Let me again illustrate. We have been told that the three major rays at this time are the first, the second, and the seventh. But later, the rays, now major, may become subsidiary, and others take their place, though for this solar system, the second ray, being the synthetic ray, will always be a major ray. Perhaps we can here get a hint on this great principle, though we must be careful not to draw it out to too fine a conclusion. For this system, the major rays will always be the dual rays, the negative-positive rays, the masculine-feminine rays, this being the dual system. The major rays for system 3 will be those in triple manifestation. The following table may be found of interest if regarded as relative and as holding information for the present time, but also as being subject to change and circulation. 7 rays, major 1, 2, 7, 4 subsidiary converging on the 5th. 7 principles, 3 major, monad, ego, and personality, synthesizing at various stages the 4 subsidiary. 7 chains, major 1, 4, 7. 7 planes, major 2, 5, 7. 7 manvantaras, major 3, 4, 7. 7 rounds, major 4, 5, 7. 7 root races, major 3, 5, 7. 7 sub-races, major 1, 5, 6. 7 initiations, major 1, 4, 5, if viewed from the angle of human attainment, and 1, 5, 7, if viewed from a higher. Page 601. Roman numeral 2. Thought elementals and devas. 1. The ruler of fire, Agni. A. Agni and the solar logos. Thus far in this treatise, we have considered the first section of the book, which has dealt somewhat with the internal fires of the system, both macrocosmic and microcosmic. In this, the second section, we are dealing with the fire of mind. This section, together with the 9 introductory questions, constitutes the main part of the treatise. In it, we have dealt with the nature and function of mind and with the egoic ray. We have dealt also somewhat with the form side of thought, with its material manifestation and with its substance. We proceed now to take up the consideration of the ruler of fire, Agni, and are brought to the study of the vitality that energizes and the life that animates, to the contemplation of the fire that drives, propels, and produces the activity and organization of all forms. The realization of this will reveal the fact that what we are dealing with is the life and the lives, as it is called in the secret doctrine, with Agni, the Lord of Fire, the Creator, the Preserver, and the Destroyer, and with the 49 fires through which he manifests. Footnote: the life and the lives. HPB says in the secret doctrine, occultism does not accept anything inorganic in the cosmos. The expression employed by science, inorganic substance, means simply that the latent life slumbering in the molecules of so-called inert matter is incognizable. All is life, and every atom of even mineral dust is a life, though beyond our comprehension and perception. Life, therefore, is everywhere in the universe. Wherever there is an atom of matter, a particle, or a molecule, even in its most gaseous condition, there is life in it, however latent and unconscious. From the Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, pages 269, 281, and 282. The life and the lives. 1. Everything lives and is conscious, but all life and consciousness is not similar to the human. A. Life is the one form of existence manifesting in matter. B. Matter is the vehicle for the manifesting of soul. C. Soul is the vehicle for the manifesting of spirit. Therefore, first logos, second logos, third logos cooperate. Illustration. Life of the third logos, animating atoms of matter. Life of the second logos, animating the forms or aggregate of atoms. Life of the first logos, animating the composite forms. 2. The one life synthesizes this triplicity. Let us work this out in the macrocosm and microcosm. Forhat, prana, electricity, magnetic fluid are all terms used for this one vitalizing life. The microcosm is animated and vitalized by prana and its actions controlled by the indwelling thinker. The macrocosm is animated and vitalized by Forhat. Its actions are controlled by the informing intelligence we call the logos. Return to text. Page 602. We are dealing with solar fire per se, with the essence of thought, with the coherent life of all forms, with the consciousness in its evolving aspect, or with Agni, the sum total of the gods. He is Vishnu and the sun in his glory. He is the fire of matter and the fire of mind, blended and fused. He is the intelligence which throbs in every atom. He is the mind that actuates the system. He is the fire of substance and the substance of the fire. He is the flame and that which the flame destroys. Students of the secret doctrine, when they read carelessly, are apt to consider him only as the fire of matter and omit to note that he is himself the sum total, and this is especially the case when they find that Agni is the lord of the mental plane. Footnote: Agni, who is the source of all that gives light and heat, so that there are different species of Agni, fire. But whatever other fires there may be, they are but the ramifications of Agni, the immortal. The primary division of Agni is threefold. Agni, says the Vishnu Purana, has three sons, Sukhi, Pavamana, and Pavaka. Sukhi means the Saura, or solar fire. Pavamana means Nirmathana, fire produced by friction, as the friction of two pieces of wood. And Pavaka means the Vaidyuta, or fire of the firmament, i.e. the fire of the lightning or electric fire. The sources of these three fires, I may observe in passing, constitute the three principal deities spoken of in the Veda, namely Surya, the sun, representing the solar fire, Indra, and sometimes Vayu, the rain-producing deity, representing the fire of the firmament, and Agni, representing the terrestrial fire, the fire produced by friction. And all these three, be it remembered, are merely the ramifications of one Agni, which in its turn is an emanation from the Supreme One, as the reader will find from the allegorical description given of Agni as being the mouth-born son of Brahma in the Vishnu Purana. Now, each of the triple forms of Agni has numerous subdivisions. The solar fire is distinguished by several divisions according to the nature of the rays emitted by the great luminary. From the Theosophist, Volume 7, page 196. Return to text. He is the animating life of the solar system, and that life is the life of God, the energy of the logos, and the manifestation of the radiance which veils the central sun. Page 603. Only as he is recognized as Forhat, the energy of matter, as wisdom, the nature of the ego and its motivation, and as essential unity, can any due conception be arrived at as to his nature or being. He is not the solar logos on the cosmic mental plane, for the egoic consciousness of the logos is more than his physical manifestation. But Agni is the sum total of that portion of the logoic ego which is reflected down into his physical vehicle. He is the life of the logoic personality with all that is included in that expression. He is to the solar logos on his own plane what the coherent personality of a human being is to his ego in the causal body. This is a very important point to be grasped, and if meditated upon, will bring to the student much enlightenment. His is the life that fuses and blends the threefold nature of the logos when in physical incarnation. His is the coherent force that makes a unity of the triple logoic personality, but man can only arrive at his essential nature by the study of the logoic physical vehicle, hence the difficulty. He can only understand by a consideration of his psychic emanation as it can be sensed and viewed by passing the history of the races in retrospect. Man's personality reveals his nature as his life progresses. His psychic quality unfolds as the years slip away, and when he passes out of incarnation, he is spoken of in terms of quality, good or bad, selfish or unselfish. The effect of his emanation during life is that which remains in men's minds. Thus only can the logoic personality express itself, and our knowledge of his nature is consequently limited by our close perspective, and handicapped by the fact that we are participants in his life and integral parts of his manifestation. It is only as we begin to function upon the Buddhic plane that we can in any way live in the subjective side of nature, and it is only as our knowledge of the spiritual life increases and as we pass definitely through the portal of initiation into the fifth kingdom that we can appreciate the distinction between the dense physical and the vital body. Only as we become polarized in the cosmic etheric body and are no longer held prisoner by a dense material sheath, for the three lower planes are but the dense body of the logos, do we come to a fuller understanding of the psychic nature of the logos, for we stand then in the body which bridges the gulf between the dense physical and the astral body of the logos. Only when this is the case do we understand the function of the Lord Agni as the vital life of the cosmic etheric, as the vitality of the heavenly men and the activity of their sheaths. B. Agni and the mental plane. I seek to deal with a very important point here, emphasizing the close connection between Agni, the sum total of the life force of the logoic threefold personality, as he is seen at work on the mental plane, which closely concerns man, and that manifesting driving force or intelligent will, which emanates from the cosmic mental plane. There is a very interesting series of correspondences to be worked out here, and we might briefly indicate the lines to be followed in this connection by the ensuing tabulation. The fifth cosmic plane, the cosmic mental. The fifth systemic plane, the mental plane. The fifth subplane of the physical, the gaseous. The fifth principle, manas. The fifth law, fixation, the law of concretion. The fifth ray, concrete knowledge. The fifth round, the round of manasic attainment. Page 605. The fifth root race, the Aryan, mental development. The fifth subrace, the Teutonic and Anglo-Saxon, concrete mind. The fifth group of devas, fire devas of the mental plane. The fifth manvantara, three-fifths of the manasaputras achieve. The fifth scheme, the lord of concrete science. The fifth Maha Manvantara, or solar system, the solar logos achieves his fifth major initiation. The fifth chain, principal evolution, fire devas. The fifth hierarchy, the greater builders, vibrations of fifth order, manasic. It will therefore be apparent that when the system is viewed in reverse order and the physical plane is counted as the first, as it often is when considering it as the field of strictly human evolution, that the third plane, the mental plane, comes under the same group of correspondences, and Agni, as the energizing factor of the dense physical body of the logos, or as the fire of his most concrete manifestation, vitalizing, warming, and holding all together, has to be considered. Three hierarchies are, in this Maha Manvantara, of profound significance, the fourth or human creative hierarchy and the two deva hierarchies, the fifth and sixth. The fourth hierarchy in the larger scheme is literally the ninth, for five hierarchies have earlier passed on and are considered as pure abstractions. In this system, concretion concerns us and the blending of form and of energy into one coherent whole. In the ninth, tenth, and eleventh hierarchies lie the clue to the nature of Agni, the Lord of Fire, the sum total of systemic vitality. He who understands the significance of these figures and their relation to each other as the triple division of a unity in time and space will have discovered one of the keys which will unlock a door hitherto fast closed. Page 606. They are the numbers of achievement, of potentiality brought into full activity, and of innate capacity demonstrating in perfect fruition. All potentiality lies in the vitalizing, energizing power of Agni and in his ability to stimulate. He is life itself and the driving force of evolution, of psychic development, and of consciousness. This fact is hidden in these figures and not the evolution of substance, which is but a result emanating from psychic causes. These three numbers are the basis of the cyclic calculations which concern the egoic cycles and the cycles of Vishnu, as distinguished from the cycles dealing with the third aspect. Occult students have not sufficiently grasped the fact that objectivity is an inevitable result of an inner conscious subjective life. When this is better apprehended, bodies on the physical plane, for instance, will be purified, developed, and beautified through a scientific attention paid to the development of the psyche, to the unfoldment of the ego, and to the stimulation of the egoic vibration. The cause will be dealt with and not the effect, and hence the growing appreciation by the human family of the study of psychology, even though as yet they are but studying the karma manasic body and have not reached back to the egoic consciousness. The lunar lords have had their day. Now Agni, as the solar lord of life and energy, will assume due importance in human life. C. Agni and the Three Fires. In studying the manifestation of Agni in the solar system, it should be remembered that we are considering here his essential nature as actuating fire. We have seen that he is the threefold logoic personality, but he is the threefold logos in a subjective sense, and the form aspect is only subsidiary. Perhaps a tabulation may make this point clearer. Page 607. Tabulation. Agni, Lord of Fire. Aspect. First, will. Fire, electric fire. Result, activity of spirit. Subjective manifestation, the one life, unity, spiritual, dynamic, coherence, synthesis. Origin of energy, central spiritual sun. Objective manifestation, the solar system, etheric and dense. Aspect, second, love wisdom. Fire, solar fire. Result, activity of consciousness, egoism, vitality, magnetism. Subjective manifestation, the seven heavenly men, the seven rays, the seven types of mind. Origin of energy, the heart of the sun. Objective manifestation, the seven rays manifesting through the seven planetary schemes. Aspect, third, activity, fire, fire by friction. Result, activity in matter, atomic vitality, energy. Subjective manifestation, the seven fires, the akasha. Origin of energy, the physical sun. Objective manifestation, the seven planes. Page 608. Each of these three aspects of the one fire, showing as the creative fire, preserving fire, and destroying fire, must be studied as electrical phenomena, and this under the aspects of light, flame, and heat, of electricity, radiance, and motion, of will, desire, and action. Only thus will the true nature of Agni be apprehended. As the logoic personality, he is demonstrating through a triplicity of sheaths forming a unity, and only thus will it become apparent why at this stage in evolution the material aspect is the most considered. The entire system is the physical sheath of the logos and consequently the most easily cognized, for the logos is as yet centered in his cosmic sheaths and can only reveal himself through their medium. End of side one. Cassette number 14, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 608, continued on side 2. Side 2, cassette number 14, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division D, Thought and Fire Elementals, on page 608. Man's just appreciation of this mystery of electricity will only come about as he studies himself and knows himself to be a triple fire manifesting in many aspects. Man, a fire. Monadic fire, electric fire, spirit will, the central spiritual sun. Egoic fire, solar fire, consciousness, love, wisdom, the heart of the sun. Personality fire, fire by friction, physical man, physical sun. Each of these fires can also be studied in a threefold manner and under three aspects. The monad, will aspect, electric fire, flame, spiritual will. Love, wisdom, solar fire, light, spiritual love. Active intelligence, fire by friction, heat, spiritual intelligence. Page 609. The ego, will, atma, electric fire, the spark, the jewel in the lotus, conscious will. Love, wisdom, buddhi, solar fire, the rays, 12-petaled lotus, conscious love. Active intelligence, manas, fire by friction, substance, the permanent atoms, conscious activity. The personality, will, mental body, electric fire, lower mind, thought. Love, astral body, solar fire, karma, desire. Activity, physical body, fire by friction, prana, activity. I seek to emphasize here the fact that in this threefold manifestation, there is a ninefold unfoldment. It should ever be borne in mind that seven is the number which governs the evolution of substance and of form building in the solar system, but that nine is the number governing the development of the consciousness within that form of the psyche. This is seen in the sevenfold display of logoic life through the planetary scheme and the ninefold nature of egoic unfoldment. If the student here substitutes for the words monad, ego, and personality, the three aspects of the logos, and will bear in mind that as yet all that he can ascertain or cognize is the lowest of the logoic manifestations, the personality, it will be apparent why so much must remain mysterious to even the higher grades of initiates, and why even the perfected Daihan Chohan cannot penetrate the secrets of the logos outside his system. They can cognize much concerning Agni, the Lord of Fire, but until they can contact that of which he is an emanation, a reflection or a ray, there is a limit to what may be known. Page 610. Agni is Fohat, the threefold energy emanating from the logoic ego, which produces the solar system, the physical vehicle of the logos, and animates the atoms of substance. He is the basis of the evolutionary process, or the cause of the psychic unfoldment of the logos, and he is that vitality which ultimately brings about a divine synthesis in which the form approximates subjective demand, and after being consciously directed and manipulated, is finally discarded. This is the goal for the logos, as it is for man. This marks the final liberation of a human being, of a heavenly man, and of a solar logos. We could divide the process into three periods. First, the period wherein the fire of matter, the heat of mother, hides, nourishes, and brings to birth the infant ego. This is the period of purely personality life, when the third aspect dominates and man is in the veil of illusion. Second, the period wherein the ego, or subjective life within the form, passes through certain stages of unfoldment and comes to an ever fuller consciousness. This is the period of egoic development and is produced by the gradual merging and blending of the two fires. It is the life of service and of the path. Third, the period wherein the egoic consciousness itself is superseded by spiritual realization and the fire of spirit blends with the other two. At first, the personality acts the part of mother, or of material aspect, to the germ of the inner life. Then the ego manifests its life within the personal life and produces a shining forth which groweth ever more and more until the perfect day. Page 611. At that perfect day of revelation, it is seen what man in essence is, and the spirit within is revealed. This can be studied from the Christian angle, and Paul was but voicing an occult truth when he enunciated the facts concerning the birth of the Christ within the heart and the growth of the higher life at the expense of the lower. Thus also can it be taught along occult and not mystic lines in the recognition by science of the vitalization of the permanent atoms, the four centers of the sheaths or substance, of the unfoldment of the egoic lotus and the awakening of its petals, and in the final revelation of the jewel in the lotus. All that can be said of man can be predicated of the Logos on an inconceivably greater scale. As man discovers the laws of his own material sheath, the laws of substance, he is ascertaining the nature of the fires of the outer man, or Fohat, as he vitalizes the logoic vehicle. The fires of his own sheaths are aspects of Agni as the fire of matter. As he ascertains the nature of consciousness and the laws of psychical unfoldment, he is studying the nature of the vitality of the subjective man and the laws of conscious being, thus studying Agni as he manifests as light and cool radiance shining through the vehicle. Later, for the time is not yet, as he comes to comprehend the nature of his monad, the spiritual or essential life which is developing consciousness by means of the sheaths, he will discover the nature of Agni as he shows forth as pure electricity. Even though this is not yet possible, nevertheless the statement as to the lines of investigation which can be pursued and the realization of that which may eventually be achieved may cause men's minds to turn to the study of the real and of the true. Page 612. 2. The Fire Devas, the Greater Builders. I have divided the groups of devas and elementals into evolutionary and involutionary builders, those who are in themselves positive force, and those which are negative force, the conscious and the blind workers. It is absolutely essential that students bear in mind here that we are studying the mystery of electricity, and therefore must remember the following facts. A. Introductory remarks. The mystery of electricity. The greater builders are the positive aspect of substance or of electrical phenomena, whilst the lesser builders are the negative aspect. Two types of force are represented in the activities of these two groups, and it is their interaction and interplay which produces light, or the manifested solar system. Their sum total is substance in its totality, the intelligent active form, built for the purpose of providing a habitation for a central subjective life. They are also the sum total of the Pitris, or fathers of mankind, viewing mankind as the race itself, the fourth kingdom in nature, the heavenly men in physical manifestation. Footnote: the lunar Pitris. The great Chohans called the lords of the moon, of the airy bodies. Bring forth men, they were told. Men of your nature, give them their forms within. She, Mother Earth, will build coverings without, for external bodies. Males, females will they be, lords of the flame also. They went each on his allotted lands, seven of them each on his lot. The lords of the flame remained behind. They would not go. They would not create. From The Secret Doctrine, Volume 2, pages 79 and 81. Return to text. This is a most important point to emphasize. These deva activities in relation to self-consciousness, which is the distinctive characteristic of humanity, can best be studied in the large or through the consideration of groups, of races, and of the life of the scheme, the manifestation of one of the heavenly men. When the student brings his study of deva work down to the terms of his own individual life, he is apt to become confused through too close a juxtaposition. Page 613. The greater builders are the solar Pitris, whilst the lesser builders are the lunar ancestors. I would here explain the occult meaning of the word ancestor as used in esotericism. It means literally initiatory life impulse. It is that subjective activity which produces objectivity and concerns those emanatory impulses which come from any positive center of force, and which sweep the negative aspect into the line of that force and thus produce a form of some kind. The word ancestor is used in connection with both aspects. The solar logos is the initiatory impulse or father of the sun in his physical incarnation, a solar system. He is the sum total of the Petris in the process of providing form. The union of father, positive force, and mother, negative force, produces that central blaze which we call the form, the body of manifestation of the sun. A heavenly man holds an analogous position in relation to a planetary scheme. He is the central germ of positive life or force, which in due course of time demonstrates as a planetary scheme or an incarnation of the planetary logos. A man, similarly, is the positive life or energy which, through action on negative force, creates bodies of manifestation through which he can shine or radiate. Footnote: the lunar Petris created the physical man. They exist in three great classes. 1. The most developed. They form, in round 1, the sum total of the three kingdoms and achieve a human form. In rounds 2 and 3, they are the sum total of that which will eventually be human. In round 4, at the beginning, they form the etheric bodies of our Earth humanity. 2. Those whose bodies are taken by the solar angels. 3. The sum total of the three kingdoms at present known. The earth gives man his body. The gods give him his five inner principles. Spirit is one. 1. The earth gives the dense physical. 2. The lunar gods give him three lower principles. A. Etheric body. B. Prana. C. Kama Manas. 3. The solar gods give him two principles. D. Lower mind. E. Higher mind. 4. The monad is the unified two highest principles, F, Buddhi, G, Atma. The totality of form. God is one notwithstanding the innumerable forms which are in him. So is man on earth, the microcosm of the macrocosm. Everything is comprised in man. He unites in himself all forms. The mystery of the earthly man is the mystery of the heavenly man. The potentiality of every organ useful to animal life is locked up in man, the microcosm of the macrocosm. Taken from Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. Return to text. The lesser builders are the negative aspect and are swept into action in group formation through the play of positive force upon them, or through the action of the conscious minds of the system. Page 614. Footnote: Petris, the ancestors or creators of mankind. They are of 7 classes, 3 of which are incorporeal and 4 corporeal. These are usually called the lunar Petris or ancestors and must not be confounded with the solar Petris or angels who give mind to man and create the relatively permanent body of the ego or higher self. Return to text. At the present stage of evolution, during the period of light, it is difficult for the human being, until he has attained the consciousness of the ego, to differentiate between the types of force and to work consciously with these dual aspects. An adept of the light works with force in substance, viewing substance as that which is negative and therefore occultly to be moved, and he can do this because he has, in the three worlds of his endeavor, achieved unity, or the point of balance and equilibrium, and can therefore balance forces and deal with positive and negative energies as appears best in the interests of the plan of evolution. The brother of darkness, knowing himself to be positive force in essence, works with negative substance, or with the lesser builders, to bring about ends of his own, incited thereto by selfish motive. Page 615. The brothers of light cooperate with the positive aspect in and of all forms, the building devas of evolutionary intent, in order to bring about the purposes of the heavenly man, who is the sum total of planetary physical manifestation. It can be seen, therefore, how necessary it is that the functions of the devas of all grades be comprehended. It is, however, equally important that man should refrain from the manipulation of these forces of nature until such time as he knows himself and his own powers, and until he has fully unfolded the consciousness of the ego. Then and only then can he safely, wisely, and intelligently cooperate in the plan. As yet, for the average man, or even the advanced man, this is dangerous to attempt and impossible to accomplish. Now let us add a few more statements upon which the student can ponder before we pass on to study specifically the three main groups of building devas on the three planes in the three worlds which most intimately concern man. The building devas are the Ahi, or universal mind. They contain within their consciousness the plan logoic, and inherently possess the power to work it out in time and space, being the conscious forces of evolution. Page 616. They not only embody the divine thought, but are that through which it manifests, and its actuating activity. They are essentially motion. The lesser builders are more particularly the material form, which is actuated, and in their cohorts are the substance of matter, considering substance as that which lies back of matter. They are that which produces concretion and which gives form to the abstract. The terms Rupa and Arupa devas are relative, for the formless levels and the formless lives are only so from the standpoint of man in the three worlds. The formless lives are those which are functioning in and through the etheric body of the Logos, formed of the matter of the four higher planes of the system. Footnote: Rupa, with form or body. Arupa, formless or bodiless. Generally speaking, the term Rupa is applied to all forms in the three worlds, whilst the term Arupa is applied to all forms through which existences manifest on the four higher levels of the solar system and the abstract levels of the mental plane. Return to text. From this point of view, the mental plane provides an interesting consideration. Its three higher subplanes are positive and centralize the positive force of the plane. This focusing of the positive affects the negative substance of the four lower planes and brings about likewise A. the formation of four centers on the causal levels, those four centers being egoic groups in their various divisions. B. the concretion of substance, or the building of the dense physical body of the Logos. On the physical plane of the solar system, an analogous process can be seen taking place as regards the physical body of man, or his concrete manifestation. Page 617. In his case, the fourth subplane is the focal point of positive force. On that plane are located the etheric centers of man, which have, in the evolutionary process and in the work of force direction, a relationship to his physical body similar to the relationship which groups of egos on the mental plane have to the dense physical body of the Logos. This is a profound occult hint. In the words prana and the etheric body, or life force and form, we have the key to the mystery of the solar and lunar petries, and a hint as to the place of the physical body in the scheme of things. The solar petries and devas find their force expression most adequately through man, with all that is included in that term. They are the source of his self-consciousness, and it is their action upon the negative aspect which produces the human ego, on a large scale, viewing them in their totality as cosmic force. It is their action upon the negative or mother aspect which, on cosmic levels, produces that self-conscious unity, a solar Logos, functioning through his physical vehicle. From the Christian standpoint, the greater builders are the Holy Spirit, or force overshadowing and fecundating matter, whilst the negative or lesser builders correspond to the Virgin Mary. The lunar Petries and lesser builders from the systemic point of view find their fullest expression in the animal kingdom. When they, as the initiatory impulse, had produced animal man, they had performed their prime function, and just as, on a smaller scale and in connection with only one of the heavenly men, the moon is a dying and decadent world, so on a systemic scale, and therefore covering a vast period of time, the work of the lunar Petries is slowly coming to a conclusion, as the power of the third kingdom, the animal, over the human, is being superseded by spiritual power. The systemic correspondence to lunar Petric activity will occultly die out. Page 618. The lunar Petries, the builders of man's lunar body and their correspondents in the other kingdoms of nature, are the sum total of the dense physical body of the Logos, or the substance of the mental, astral, and physical planes, the gaseous, liquid, and dense bodies which form a unity, his physical vehicle, viewing it apart from the etheric. Footnote. The lunar or Bahishad Petries have the following function. 1. They are the ancestors of man. 2. They are the fashioners of his form. 3. They possess the physical creative fire. 4. They could only clothe the human monads. 5. They could not make man in their likeness. 6. They could not give him mind. 7. They build his external form. 8. They give the lower principle. Temporarily, they are the conquerors of spirit. A. Spirit becomes immersed in material forms. B. Forms are the battleground. C. Eventually spirit may slay the forms. From The Secret Doctrine, Volume 2. Return to text. They are the product of an earlier solar system. Their activities date from there. That system stands to the present one as the lunar chain to ours. That is why the physical body is considered no principle, either for man or the solar Logos. That is why the lower nature is considered evil, and why man must slay his lunar body. Footnote. In the voice of the silence, the words occur, "Before that path is entered, thou must destroy thy lunar body, cleanse thy mind body, and make clean thy heart." Return to text. Evil is that which can be controlled and subdued, but which is permitted to govern. The positive can always manipulate the negative. When the negative line is followed and the line of least resistance to that which is no principle is pursued, then we have evil. In the first solar system, the negative substance aspect, the mother aspect or matter, was perfected. The lower Petries dominated. In this system, force activity lies in the hands of the solar Petries, or greater Devas. At the close of the Maha Manvantara, they will have built, according to the plan, a perfect sheath or vehicle of expression for the divine thought, and this through the manipulation of negative substance. They utilize the heat of the mother to nourish the germ of the divine thought, and to bring it to fruition. Page 619. When the germ has developed to maturity, the mother aspect no longer has a place, and the man occultly is freed or liberated. This idea runs through all manifestations, and the kingdoms of nature, or the form, no matter what form it may be, nourish the germ of that which is the next step on in the evolutionary process, and are considered the mother aspect. This aspect is eventually discarded and superseded. For example, the third kingdom, the animal, in the early stages, nourishes and preserves the germ of that which will someday be a man. The personality is the preserver of that which will someday unfold into spiritual man. It will thus become apparent to students how the heavenly man, viewing him as a solar deity, a self-conscious entity, works with his negative aspect through positive force, from logoic etheric levels upon the three aspects of the logoic dense physical, thus bringing to maturity the atoms and cells of his body, fostering the germ of self-consciousness, fanning the flame until each unit becomes fully group-conscious and aware of his place within the body corporate. each human being, likewise, functioning in the three worlds, works in a corresponding way upon the conscious cells of his bodies until each atom eventually achieves its goal. The heavenly man works necessarily through egoic groups, pouring positive force upon them until they emerge from passivity and negativity into potency and activity. Man works correspondingly through his centers upon his sheaths and has a responsibility to the lesser lives which, under the karmic law, must be worked out. This is the basis of the evolutionary process. Page 620. B. The functions of the devas. Having predicated certain basic facts about the devas, viewing them as the sum total of the energy of substance and of substance itself, we come down to more technical details and to the more detailed consideration of these building forces as they construct the thought form of the logos, the solar system. From this consideration of them, certain practical knowledge will eventuate. First, knowledge of how to build in mental matter in the three worlds and how to employ the devas of the gaseous plane of the cosmic physical. Second, realization of how to combine the pairs of opposites and thus give body and form to concept. Third, materialization upon the physical plane of the embodied idea. 1. Manifestation of the logoic aspects. This is achieved through the close consideration of the laws of being and of the method pursued by the logos in giving his conception form, thus working out his purpose or will through that form. In the three planes of man's endeavor, we have reflected the three aspects of the logos as they produce manifestation. The mental plane, reflection of the first aspect, the plane of concept, of the union of father, spirit, will, and mother, matter, energy. This is the work of the logos, and this union produces the sun, for divine thought takes form. The body of the ego is there found. Astral plane, reflection of the second aspect, the sun. Materialization proceeds through desire, and the form grows and evolves, becoming more adequate. Physical plane, manifestation. The thought form of man or the logos appears in activity. The sun is born on the physical plane. The thought of the thinker, divine or human, becomes an entity, separated from its originating source, yet energized by the vitality emanating from him. Page 621. All this becomes possible, speaking now from the human standpoint, through the action of the devas who are that which embodies thought and that which gives it its separated energy, as distinct from the purpose which will work out to fruition as the form becomes adequate as a medium of expression. 2. Deva force substance. As we consider the devas of the seven planes of the solar system, and especially as we consider those who work in the three worlds, we must bear in mind the following statements. The first statement, they are the devas who are the dual force substance of the lowest cosmic plane, the cosmic physical. As regards the three worlds, they are the deva force and substance which compose the dense physical body of the logos. Hence, man is limited, as he works on these planes, to those devas who are primarily regarded from the higher levels as having no part in the seven principles of the logos. To those devas who form the gaseous, liquid, and concrete form of the logos, the devas of concrete fire, of water, and of earth in its densest aspect. To those devas who are the automatic subconscious builders, carrying on the work of the dense physical vehicle of the logos in the same sense as the builders in man's body work automatically and unconsciously, producing the cells and energizing the bodily functions. Footnote: the solar angels are dual in nature. Manas is dual, lunar in the lower, solar in its upper portion. A. The solar aspect is attracted towards buddhi. B. The other descends into or is attracted by the lower animal. C. The solar angels form the soul or second aspect. D. The chief soul is manas or mind. From The Secret Doctrine, Volume 2. Return to text. This is the basis of the danger to man in tampering with these forces. He is too close to them in many ways. He identifies himself with them, and until he has attained the consciousness of the ego and has, with full knowledge, established his identity with the spirit aspect and not with substance, he is liable to be swept into the line of blind force and become a lost soul should he trespass ignorantly and curiously into their domain. Page 622. He is concerned also with those devas who are as yet animated by the life and purpose which distinguished the evolution of the first solar system. That life is the life of God, and that purpose is the working out of his will. But it is evil from our present standpoint, for it is superseded, as far as man is concerned, by a different purpose and goal. Therefore, identification with that which is past, retrogression and the methods of the old, are for a man a return along the path of self-conscious evolution, and lead eventually to a loss of the egoic principle or of egoism, which distinguishes a man, human or heavenly, from the rest of evolution. The second statement. The hope for the devas and for the form aspect lies in the fact that each of the subplanes of the cosmic physical plane comes under the direct influence of cosmic forces originating on the six other cosmic planes. Of these forces, everything is unknown and inconceivable, except the vague and general indications of these currents and forces as they may be felt as emanating from the cosmic planes. The cosmic mental plane. This manifests for us in the three types of force to be seen on the systemic mental plane. These three types have not been sufficiently studied and are A. The force which plays through all the monastic permanent atoms and which produces basically that manifestation which we call the three worlds. B. The force which animates those groups of lotuses which we call egoic groups or centers, aggregations of causal bodies. C. The force which vitalizes all the mental units and which is distributed thence to all the other permanent atoms. Page 623. These three types of force deal with the substance aspect, permanent atoms, causal vehicle, and mental units, and are therefore directly impressing themselves upon the devas who build these forms out of their own substance and thus develop the divine plan. These three types of force affect substance, but with a psychic intent, being themselves swayed and actuated according to divine purpose and from high levels. They emanate from the concrete levels of the cosmic mental plane, being therefore the force flowing through the mental unit of the logos, and are concerned with the force center which focalizes the logoic mental body. They are the force of Agni in his first aspect. He is that fire which is distinctive of the cosmic mental plane, reflected in the cosmic gaseous subplane of the cosmic physical plane, our systemic mental plane. The cosmic astral plane. The force from this plane plays through our systemic astral plane, the cosmic liquid physical subplane, and it is practically subject only to two differentiations, each of them occultly embodied in two great groups of devas. First, the devas who are the substance or force of the astral plane, viewing it as the sum total of desire, of feeling, and of sensation. They are therefore the nerve centers or nerve plexi of the logoic physical body, for the systemic astral plane provides the nervous system of the logoic physical body. It is the body of intensest vibration from the physical standpoint and the vehicle through which all is transmitted to that portion of the logoic physical body which corresponds to the brain in man. Page 624. I can elucidate this no further, but the few words here imparted open up a tremendous range of thought and give the key to much which transpires and which is distressing in solar evolution as well as human. Second, those devas who are the sum total of the astral light, they are the agents of the karmic lords, who are in themselves deva entities of an inconceivably advanced evolution, and who, in their own substance, 1. Record, 2. Produce effects from cause, 3. Direct force. This particular group of devas emanate from a great force center which we generalize by calling it by the name of the sun Sirius. Sirius, comma, Manus, the cosmic astral plane and the systemic astral plane, make a close interlocking chain and form the line of least resistance for a particular type of negative force to pour through. The cosmic physical plane. This is the force, external and internal, of the solar system itself and of its environing space. It might be regarded as the pranic forces pouring through the logoic etheric body, our four higher subplanes, which are positive to the lower three, impregnating these lower three planes, a reflection in substance or in the Brahma aspect of the union of father, mother, and producing the purely concrete manifestation. This is why the physical vehicle has such control during long stages of man's evolution, for the force of this type of energy is necessarily felt more strongly than any other. It is deva force and substance which is so close to us as powerfully to delude us. Here lies the mystery of Maya, and here is to be found the secret of illusion. Here exists for man the first great stage of the battle for full self-consciousness and for identification with the God aspect and not with the matter aspect. Page 625. Here lies the occult reason why man is called by his father's name and not his mother's. When man has dominated the deva essences of the physical plane, he controls next those of the astral and dominates the mental essences. Having achieved this in his own nature, he can then safely become a magician and contact, control, and work with the devas in connection with the plans of the heavenly man. In the realization of the three types of force will be found for man the key to the mystery of his centers. The secret of the note of the head, the heart, and the throat center is found here, and their blending with the lower centers so that the note of the higher sounds out, and the lower produces only harmony. Upon the note of nature, the logos has to superimpose a higher note to the natural note of the center, which is found through the development of the lower center, which is its reflection or correspondence, must be added the dominant note of the higher center, and in the dual harmony, the center vibrates as desired. The note is the result of correct activity. That is why the lower centers of man are, in the early stages of his career, the controlling factor. He has to learn their note, and from it to attain the key of the higher. Then the higher takes the prominent place, and the lower only serves the purpose of providing that which is understood as occult depth. Why is this? Because in these notes, those groups of devas who are the force and energy of the centers, which are centers in substance, are contacted and controlled. Through their activity, directed through the centers, the material sheaths, physical, astral, and mental, are built. These ideas of force and the sheath are the basis of the astrological teaching that is one of the keys to the secret doctrine. Footnote: the astrological key is referred to in the Secret Doctrine, Volume 2, page 26. Return to text. We should therefore bear in mind that the deva lords, Agni, Varuna, Kshiti, represent in the exoteric teaching the substance aspect of the dense body of the logos, whilst the force aspect as flowing through the etheric body of the logos is considered under various names such as Shiva, Surya, Brahma. Yet the two aspects are but one. Page 626. Footnote: Agni, the god of fire in the Veda, the oldest and the most revered of the gods in India. He is a triple aspect of fire and therefore the sum total of manifestation. He is regarded also as the lord of the mental plane, the fifth plane, whose symbol is fire. Varuna, the god of water in the sense of the waters of space or the waters of matter. He is regarded also as the ruler of the astral plane, the sixth plane, whose symbol is water. Kshiti, the god of the earth in the sense of dense substance and not a planetary body. He is the god of the physical plane, the seventh plane. Return to text. The third statement. The final point I seek to make here is that in connection with these three lower planes and their many groups of devas, it must be remembered that their polar opposites are to be found in the great devas of the highest three planes. Divine, first cosmic ether, primordial fire, mental plane, fire. Monadic, second cosmic ether, akasha, astral plane, astral light. Spiritual or atmic, third cosmic ether, aether, physical plane, ether. The particular type of differentiated force which they embody when brought into union with each other is that which causes concretion, or the appearance in space and time, of the dense physical body. This should be carefully considered, along with the very interesting fact that on the fourth plane of our system, the fourth cosmic ether or buddhic plane, we have the sphere of certain occult happenings which cannot be more than hinted at, because their true significance is one of the secrets of initiation. They are an aspect of the plan of the Logos, which can be contacted direct by those who have expanded their consciousness adequately. Page 627. The buddhic plane, or fourth cosmic ether, is the plane whereon A, the sacred planets function, B, man will eventually function freed from the triple lower man, C, the true meaning of the words divine hermaphrodite is there to be comprehended, D, it is predominantly the plane of life force and one of the planes of generation, E, here man will for the first time understand and utilize his relationship with the devas, F, it will see the fruition of the combined evolutionary process of the two solar systems. G, it is the plane from whence all planetary avatars emanate. H, the heavenly men take the first initiation on this plane. I, on this plane the true inner significance of the sun is apprehended. More I cannot say, but careful study of that which is here given may open up much that is of significance in the study of the macrocosm and the microcosm. C. The devas and the planes. Preliminary remarks. We have considered in broad and general terms the various types of force which animate deva substance and its origin. Now we can study more specifically the deva entities in their various groups, having laid down the fundamentals in connection with them. In this particular section, students must remember that we are not considering those builders of involutionary development which are spoken of in theosophical and occult literature as the elemental essences. We are discussing those who are on the evolutionary arc and who are the agents of cosmic force, whilst the lesser builders are the agents specifically of solar and of lunar force. Solar force implies the various differentiations of the threefold cosmic force as it manifests within the solar system. Page 628. Solar force can also, as far as the creative or building faculty of man is concerned, be termed planetary force, for every human being, be he adept or ordinary man, builds and creates his thought forms, consciously or unconsciously, within the planetary spheres in the three worlds. We shall now come to a considerable amount of tabulation, for all that it is wise and possible to give at this time are certain facts, names, and outlines which can only be demonstrated through the law of correspondence. The key to comprehension is always this law. The basic differentiation in the solar system is as follows. Agni, electric fire, spirit, central spiritual sun, energy. Surya, solar fire, Vishnu, heart of the sun, light. Brahma, fire by fiction, physical visible sun, forehead. As electric fire, the Logos manifests as the seven aspects of will, spiritual impulse or purpose. As solar fire, he manifests as the seven rays, or as the light of wisdom, the consciousness, radiating through the form. As fire by friction, he manifests as the seven suns of forehead, the seven great fires, or the active heat of intelligent substance. These three aspects of the God of fire and of the fire of God are the three entities of the Logoic Trinity, and each in turn manifests through seven other entities who form their total manifestation. sevenfold electric fire. The seven types of spiritual existences, or the seven spirits before the throne in their essential essence, the dynamic force or will lying back of all manifestation. They form on their own plane, in a peculiar sense, the logoic jewel in the lotus, and hence are inconceivable to our intelligence in this solar system, as they are not revealed until the sun be made perfect, or the logoic consciousness is fully awakened. They are esoterically the spirits of darkness. Page 629. End of side 2, cassette number 14, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 629. Continued on cassette number 15.